Mike. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is pushing back, noting drug seizures at the U.S.-Canada border are relatively few and that Canada is investing in border security. Trudeau says ultimately tariffs would increase prices for Americans. Heather Bosch, CBS News.
Rebels are gaining control of more areas of the Syrian city of Aleppo. The BBC's Bernadette Keogh has the latest.
Just 3 days into their surprise lightning offensive, Syrian rebel forces opposed to President Bashar al-Assad are reported to have taken control of more than half of the country's second largest city, Aleppo. Syrian army sources said its troops had been told to close main roads in and out of the city and withdraw from areas where they've been overrun by the insurgent fighters.
There have also been Russian airstrikes on Aleppo. British lawmakers have given preliminary approval to a bill that would help terminally ill adults in England and Wales end their lives. Supporters of the bill, like Hilary Hare Duke, celebrated outside Parliament.
This was always about choice, and they still have choice, but now so do we. And I'm feeling very emotional, but it's a marvellous day.
People with fewer than 6 months would be able to request an assisted suicide. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going to get them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Stream by leasing land for these projects. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cold tonight, to low down in the single digits, and a sunny forecast for tomorrow, high only upper teens. High near 20 for Sunday, and mostly sunny. Temps slowly warm up into the 20s for highs as we look into early next week. Right now it's 13.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time, an all-new live show back in the studio. Join us for a look back at the holiday weekend and prepare you for the week ahead.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
To Matt Nair on air. Obviously, I'm not Jane Matt Nair. I'm Matt Rothschild.
subbing in for Jane and Greg, who are off today enjoying the long Thanksgiving weekend, which they've earned tremendously.
Yes, indeed.
My co-host Angela Lang is with me. She's the founder and executive director of Block, Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. Now we're joined by an old friend of mine, one of the smartest guys I know, Joel Rogers, UW sociologist, the Noam Chomsky Professor of Law, Public Affairs, and Sociology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, where he also directs the Havens Wright Center, used to be called the Havens Center, and High Road Strategy Center in Cowes. All these hats on your head. Joel, funny story. I walk into Marigold's Kitchen 10 days ago, one of the best breakfast places in Madison. That'll get me a free meal. And there's Joel talking to someone. I say, Joel, how are you liking retirement? And he says, I'm not retired. Why would I be retired? Joel Rogers, welcome to the show. How are you?
Very nice to be here. I'm a big fan of civic media.
Yeah, it's quite an experiment we're doing over here and trying to make it work statewide. I think it's important to offer people some progressive substance on the air and civic dialogue that they don't get most other spots. Joel, I was asking you at Marigold's, we might as well continue that conversation.
Yeah.
What the hell happened on November 5th?
Well, what happened, I thought, was utterly predictable and, of course, heartbreaking, which is a horrible way to live as a as a citizen in America right now. It was predictable because, you know, she was running very steeply uphill against very high disapproval rates of Biden, from which she did not distinguish herself, and a broad sense of malaise in the country. 60% of the people in the country, upwards of 60%, I think is moving in the wrong direction. So that was really unfavorable. And she's never been particularly strong in leadership from the Black community, and it was not a particularly clear message in all sorts of ways. I thought she did fine, given who she is, but it was not exciting. And there was a tremendous drop-off in turnout, about 6 million fewer people. And Trump, again, did not win. It was not a landslide in any way. It was 1.5 or so million vote difference. That was half of the difference when he won against Hillary, going in the opposite direction. So anyway, but I found it disappointing, though, because what was weird was that I guess 77% of my fellow countrymen are so cynical about the country and the possibility of living in a loving and nice way together that they would give the reins of power to this, you know, obviously narcissistic bully. I'm not in any way, Matt, a hoarse whisperer on the American public, but I've always liked the idea that I like Americans. And after that, it was a little bit harder to like Americans.
So how are you wrestling with that? I think many of us are feeling that same sense of, holy smokes, what country am I living in?
Well, one thing is, you know, I look at the numbers and I see, you know, almost as many people voted for Harris as voted for Trump. I look at the fact that a lot of the people who voted for Trump were already totally checked out on politics. And, you know, I look at the votes that Trump got in 2016 that Obama had gotten, you know, 4 years previous and 4 years before then. So I don't think you want to write it off to the racism or sexism of the American people. You might write it off to the fact that, you know, they were sort of born on third base and were deluded into thinking that they've hit a triple. We've really got to get our stuff better organized in America.
Well, how do we get it better organized?
It starts with winning a bunch of elections, Matt, and also having something to say, something mm-hmm. positive to say.
I think that's what Christian Phelps was talking about in the last half hour when I was on. He was talking about, you know, being true to your principles, not hedging to the middle about things that you don't feel strongly about, being out there and honest about your progressive agenda.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it depends on what the agenda is. I mean, this may separate me, unfortunately, from some of your audience, but I sort of welcome the end of some of the woke wars. I've never been a fan of identitarian politics as a useful way to build a progressive governing coalition. Not because I I don't think those identities are very important to those people, nor do I, because I don't think they need to be respected. But simply, I think all of us contain multitudes, and we're all intersectional, if you want to put it in identitarian terms. And I want to get everybody under the tent. And I thought the left, I think a little bit overdid it, often overdid it, you know, with the policing on the pronouns and, you know, the dead names and other stuff. It was just, you know, not really welcoming nice behavior on our part. So I welcome the end of bad behavior by the left. That would be great.
You think that was turning voters off?
Well, yeah, I know it did. I mean, there's no way to get a white, straight male more, you know, who's relatively progressive, more just angry and pissed off than to say, well, no. He now goes by the them, and you have to respect that, and you didn't respect that, and therefore I'm going to cancel you. I mean, you know, say with a trans person. I mean, you don't want to do that.
I mean, Trump made hay on the trans issue. I think it was a hard issue for people, and yet it's terrible. Just scapegoating of trans people and immigrants is what he was doing for a large part of his campaign.
No, absolutely. And he really is a mean, vicious bully. And the way to deal with a mean, vicious bully is, of course, to take him down. But don't take down the people who are voting for him. Take him down.
Right. And Biden made a mistake calling all his voters trash or garbage just a week before the election.
Well, yeah. I mean, the election told us so many things. You know, we could talk about the broken media system, about which you've forgotten more than I will ever know, or at least have suffered through more than I will ever suffer. It's ridiculous, you know. And the center right or the right wing, the Republican Party now is, you know, clearly right wing. The tweets are exceeding our capacities to do the doors and are much more effective than doing the doors. And we have to reverse that pretty soon. Angela,
yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to go back to, you know, thinking about how people call like identity politics. And I've definitely seen some folks say that was part of the reason that Kamala didn't win. You know, it's interesting that we talk about kind of like the viciousness of the left when what I've seen is folks trying to say, hey, just respect people's identity, respect people's humanity, you know, respect people's pronouns if we're going to continue with this kind of trans example. And I'm curious if you think that, and I'm not saying, you know, the left is, you know, intolerant and the right is, you know, is better in some ways or trying to conflate the two. But I also think it's important if we're going to be kind of an ever evolving country in terms of identity, you know, how can we talk about that without making people scared or uncomfortable? But also, you know, I've seen a lot of folks and, you know, when people, I have a lot of trans friends, including someone who I consider a brother. And, you know, I think being able to say, hey, yeah, this is my dead name or this is my new pronoun. This is how I identify. And people say, okay, great. Sorry. Didn't, you know, mean to do that. I don't see people getting canceled kind of left and right over kind of like interpersonal things. So I'm wondering, like, how can we actually be a country that is this big melting pot that we always talk about and claim and have intersecting identities that are kind of manifesting in policy? How can we talk about those things from your perspective without it feeling that was what was turning off voters?
Well, I mean, I would... I would not go around lecturing people. I would lead by attraction and not promotion. You know, be like a giant AA chapter, as it were. I mean, be a welcoming culture that people are going to say, wow, that's a nice thing to be part of. Those people are living good lives. Yeah, I want a part of that. I'd like to be part of that. You know, I would just turn down the lecturing. And also, I don't want to give a bunch of advice to the left, Angela. You know, I identify heavily with the left, always have, because it's about freedom and equal freedom. That's what we should be for. But equal freedom for what? I think to live a good life, and then we could talk about what that means. But the left, your producer keeps putting up numbers. Or is that the number of numbers?
Oh, that's just 3 minutes before commercial break.
Oh, okay, fine. sorry. So... You know, lead with love, be, you know, listen before you speak. No one ever learned anything by talking. Just all the cliches, you know, Angela. And yeah, I mean, I don't want to describe my personal situation, but yeah, there are a boatload of trans people or in transition people I'm dealing with all the time. Remember, I teach at a university, and there are a lot of, you know, kids who are just, you know, making up their minds at that point, et cetera. And I have not found the kids particularly mean or anything other than loving and just trying to get accepted in the world. And so I haven't found it personally a problem, but I have heard lots of people called out in inappropriate ways. And you don't want, and of course, every one instance of that, of course, will be exploited by the right endlessly. So our goal is just keep that to an absolute minimum, keep the love to an absolute maximum. That would be my only advice.
And I like that advice. You talk about equal freedom, Joel Rogers, and I know Kamala Harris tried to talk about freedom in a way that Democratic candidates haven't talked about it that much. I thought that was one of the good things she tried to do. How could she have done it better?
Well, I mean, she should have been clearer about what, if anything, we could do about inflation, short of driving the economy into a total recession. And she should have owned up to the inflation stuff. I think what needs to go on in the country, and this is not news to, I think, anybody on this broadcast, is something like, the alliance that FDR put together without the racism and the sexism and the anti-environmental aspects of it. And that's a big, broad alliance which invites a lot of people in and gives them a bunch of opportunity, has a bunch of public goods, enable them to realize their potential. And let's the experimentation begin.
I'm speaking with Joel Rogers. He'll be with us right after the break. I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing in here for Jane Mattenair on the Mattenair On Air show. And I'm joined also by Angela Lang, my co-host. We'll be right back.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, Matt Rothschild with you. Thanks for staying on, listening to Mattenair On Air. Jane and Greg are off today, of course, and I am guest hosting with Angela Lang of Block. And we're joined for the next 10 minutes or so by Joel Rogers, who is here in the last segment. Joel is a UW professor, a Noam Chomsky professor of law, public affairs, and sociology, actually. That's a nice handle.
Yeah.
And he has been directing the Havens Wright Center for Social Justice, which I used to know as the Haven Center, which brings great progressive scholars from all over the world to the University of Wisconsin. And they give talks, and they're you know, they interact with other professors at the university and activists. And Joel also does the High Road Strategy Center and Cowes Center on Wisconsin Strategy. So he's a public intellectual of the first order.
Hey, could we take a second just to talk about those two different names? We changed the Havens Right, the Havens Center, the Havens Right Center, because we wanted to respect Eric Wright, who had basically started it years ago, and he had named it after his departed colleague, Eugene Havens. So we thought when Eric departed, we should at least add his name. Havens' widow wanted to make sure his name got included. The simplest way to do that was just to hyphen it. So that's Havens Wright.
And I knew Eric Olin Wright. I studied Eric Olin Wright and his theories of the state when I was in college.
Right.
He was a very impressive intellectual.
And then on the other thing, the High Road Strategy Center is a name change from Cowes, which has not actually been Center on Wisconsin Strategy for a long time. It's always just been Cowes.
That just dates me, that's all.
Yeah. but you know, we're doing the same old stuff. We're trying to build the high road. That is an economy that's inclusive and fair and environmentally sustainable and more democratically run than the one we currently have.
And how do we get a more democratically run economy? What is a more democratically, well, let's put it this way first. What does a more democratically run economy look like? And then we can figure out how we get there.
Well, I mean, it would start with public standards on different sorts. You know, federally, the U.S. has still not, you know, increased, for example, the minimum wage, despite the fact that productivity is 200 or maybe even 300% higher than the last time it was started. That's ridiculous. So public standards would be a way to get a public standards arrived at by a democratically elected government would be a way to make an economy more attentive to the people's will.
You mentioned public goods too. What is in the basket of public goods?
Well, a public good is something which is available to everybody by definition, like clean air. You can't separate clean air breathable by one person from another. You could try to do it, but it'd be very, very difficult. It's a sort of an inherent characteristic of the good that's non-excludable. And the other thing, the characteristic of a public good, is it's non-rival, which is a fancy way of saying it doesn't diminish in quality with increased consumption by a variety of people. So, for example, clean air. You can have clean air, and I can have clean air, and my having the clean air, and I exhale a little carbon dioxide as I exhale, but that's not going to mess up. You're enjoying clean air, so we can enjoy it together. And that goes both ways. I mean, national defense is commonly thought of as a public good. Let's say we get some, I don't know, missile launch from North Korea or something. If we go down in nuclear flames, I'm going to go down along with you. I mean, we are subject to the same level of defense and counterattack, et cetera. We can't distinguish that. Public education is another public good. And when you talk about life after Trump, I just think there's a ton of stuff that we're going to be able to do, say, in the state of Wisconsin or a variety of other states or cities to improve the quality of life for people and make that life accessible to more people, which is what the left should be about.
I like the idea of getting to life after Trump. How do we get there, though?
Well, it starts with life under Trump. And life under Trump, we should try to, win back at least the House of Representatives in the next election. In Wisconsin, I think most of your listeners are in Wisconsin, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we should definitely step up the gains. The wonderful gains were made in the Assembly last time, and then especially in the Senate, and try to get to majorities in both of those. We're at the point now where we can prevent, insane actions. But we should, keep building the party. But in Wisconsin, there's so much stuff we could do right now. It's not going to be touched by the federal stuff. You know, we could electrify this entire place and save ourselves billions and billions and billions of dollars a year while improving the environment, if we wanted to. We could turn the entire state, this is a little, a fixation of mine into a giant blue zone, which everybody was living longer and healthier lives. There are ways of doing those things, and that's not really partisan stuff.
What do you mean by blue zone?
A blue zone where people tend to live longer than elsewhere.
Hmm. And how do you go about doing that?
Well, you get them to enjoy each other's company a little bit more, get out and walk about a little bit more. You know, all things would be good to do and other things. And maybe you look at their diet, get them, fewer, deep fat fried cheese curds, and maybe a few more vegetables and fruits and things. Yeah, there are different ways to get to a blue zone.
You just lost half our audience.
I know. And I'm a sitter along with all of you, so I'm not saying I'm living in a blue zone. I'm just saying if you want nice projects that, a sort of, I don't want to use the word love too much, a sort of loving left, a radically loving left. Was pushing. They're all over the place. If we electrify everything in this state, that's going to fantastically improve the quality of life for lots of people. And it's going to improve the quality of life most measurably for people who are now on the receiving end of much of the dirty economy, either because, usually because they're poor, often because they're black as well as poor. But, if we had more energy efficiency, cleaner air in apartments and office buildings and everything, we'd be in much better shape in a variety of ways. And we could do that.
Well, there are the ideas for going forward. Joel Rogers from the UW, thanks so much for being our guest today on Matinee on Air.
My pleasure.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
CBS News Brief. It's another big day for holiday shoppers. Small Business Saturday. Farron Kennedy was hunting for deals in Houston on Black Friday.
Me, my mom, my godmother, we always come to the sales after Thanksgiving.
Parts of the Northeast could get 5 feet of lake effect snow this weekend, while temperatures in the upper Midwest plunge below zero. Meteorologist William Churchill at the Weather Prediction Center.
We will see a bit of a warm-up across much of the country going into next week after a chilly weekend across much of the country, and that'll start from the west and work its way eastward.
A war monitor says jihadist rebels now control a majority of Aleppo, Syria, while Azayat heads the Muslim American advocacy group Engage.
If it comes in the form of indiscriminate aerial bombardments or artillery, that could harm many, many people. In 2016, over 1 million people were displaced, mainly into Turkey and beyond, and hundreds of thousands were killed.
CBS News Brief, I'm Michael Wallace.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks host the Wizards. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks host the Washington Wizards tonight in Milwaukee. The Wizards trying to snap a 13-game losing streak. The Bucks held practice after a 3-day break over Thanksgiving. Head coach Doc Rivers.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, they probably ate too much. And, you always, as a coach, we look at days off differently. Like when I saw the schedule and said, oh, yeah, we get our 3 days off with Thanksgiving in the middle. I looked at it. I don't know if I looked at it as a positive or not. Giannis had 6 days off. That's a huge stretch for him in the middle of a season or beginning of a season, so that should help his body as well.
College football, the Badgers losing their final game of the season 24-7 at home at Camp Randall Stadium to Minnesota, who reclaimed the Paul Bunyan axe. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell on just how flat his team looked.
If you can't be fired up for a rivalry game, if you can't be fired up for a game that's been played since 1890, then this probably isn't the right place for you.
That's Wisconsin's Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cold tonight, to low down in the single digits, and a sunny forecast for tomorrow, high only upper teens. High near 20 for Sunday and mostly sunny. Temps slowly warm up into the 20s for highs as we look into early next week. Right now it's 13.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going to get them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Dom Salvia.
Just P.S., Dom's producer here. Next time, Dom will be back live for all the political talk you missed. No more looking at how the sausage gets made, except for the government. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, Matt Rothschild with you on the Matt and Air on Air show. Jane is off today, as is Greg. I'm joined by my usual guest co-host, Angela Lang. It's always fun working with you, Angela. Angela is the founder and executive director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, BLOC. And it was good to hear Joel Rogers and get a half hour of what's on his mind. He always has interesting insights. Right now, I'm joined in the studio here in Madison by Chris Tazelar. He's the media and public relations manager for the Second Harvest Food Bank of Southern Wisconsin. Chris, thanks for coming in the studio.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Tell me what the needs are right now at Second Harvest.
Oh, boy. You know, a lot of people like to think that the pandemic was really kind of the height of a need for food banks, food pantries, meal sites, shelters, that whole group. But the reality is we're actually supporting more people now than we did at the height of the pandemic. Last fiscal year, we distributed about 26.9 million pounds of food. That was our largest year ever in our history since 1986 is when we started. So we have partner agencies who have reported 20, 30, 40% more people walking through the door. We've even had some local agencies who have talked about 2 and 3 times the number of people who are reaching out to them for support. So the need is great out there. It's greater than certainly what we thought was going to be.
Why is that? What accounts for the increase in need?
Yeah, I think it is an economic type problem, but I think it's also an awareness thing. You know, from an economics perspective, when you take a look at the lowest 10% of wage earners, their wages have actually gone up since the pandemic began. It went up about 12%. But then you start to take a look at some of the basic needs, like food, like rent, like gas, like childcare. You know, food is up 25%, rent is up 30%, gas, depending on what day you look at it, can be up 60%.
Yeah, so rent's been a killer for people. I know that. Also, car insurance has gone crazy, too.
Absolutely. And so, yes, they their wages have gone up 12%, but their everyday expenses have gone up even more. So they're slipping backwards. And I think that second half of things, when we talk about the awareness, at the height of the pandemic, every news station across the country was showing the cars that were lined up around the block to get food support. And so there is this overall awareness that there is help out there. And so I think that came to people's minds and said, oh, I mean, I can get some help. I can really reach out and get some things that I need. And so it's this combination of they've gone backwards a little bit from a monetary perspective, and the overall awareness is even higher. So I think that's what's driving the increased need right now.
So, like, not to make this political, and you don't have to answer this in a political way, but like building on, you know, Matt's question, right? Understanding that there's a new political landscape, or I would say somewhat familiar, I think, kind of landscape, and thinking about just even some of the new state representatives, like Representative-elect Christian Phelps and others, what can legislators do to respond? And I don't think this needs to be necessarily like a partisan answer. I think it should be bipartisan. Everybody should care about folks needing extra help and support and satisfying those needs. What can be done, do you think, on kind of like a policy type of level?
Yeah, you know, I think there's some things that are really obvious. You know, try to work for a working wage, for folks that are out there. Try to end the systemic racism that is a significant root cause of hunger. Those are big, big issues, right? But there are some smaller things that can also be done. During the pandemic, we actually benefited quite a bit from a lot of that federal funding, that ARPA funds, and so that's what helped us to meet that increased need. But now that funding, as of the end of this year, is gone, and we tried to get funding through the Dane County Board of Supervisors for the 2025 budget, but unfortunately they said no. So it's one of those things where during the pandemic we actually built. We built a system of support that not only supported the folks in the community, but also supported local vendors that we would purchase product from. We had to build this from scratch. And now, you know, as of really January 1st, there isn't going to be any funding for that because they didn't see their way to put it in their budget. So that's unfortunate.
I mean, how close was that? I mean, why did the county not come through with that?
Yeah, it's a great question. They thought that there was a rule against it. And then we provided them with two or three different legal kind of precedences that said, no, there is, you can do this. And despite a fair amount of pressure, they just couldn't find their way to kind of approve dollars. So when you take a look at like our overall budget, and then you go from $5.5 million in federal funds or public funds to zero, that's a big challenge.
And how are you trying to fill that void right now?
The only way to fill that void is by it through individual donations and through increased corporate support, because that's the only other funding that's out there.
And individual donations are tax deductible, right?
They are, because we are a 501c3. They are fully tax deductible.
And if people wanted to support you, you know, how do they know where to send the check?
Yeah, honestly, the quickest and best way, go to secondharvestsw.org. We changed our URL
That's SW for Southern Wisconsin.
Correct.
You can find that in the show notes.
Oh, thanks, Jess.
Civicmedia.us/shows, Matt and Aaron on air. This will be in the second hour.
Sweet.
Excellent. So people can help, and I do encourage people to help out Second Harvest. But
Giving Tuesday is coming up. You know, I think people are thinking of their charitable giving, and I think right now folks are evaluating. So I think this is a really great opportunity for folks to, again, feel like they can do something.
And honestly, speaking of Giving Tuesday, that's actually a great, an even better opportunity to give, because we're actually having match dollars on Giving Tuesday. So the first $25,000 that are raised on Giving Tuesday are going to be matched thanks to I'm trying to a Dean Health Plan by Medica.
Oh, there you go.
And so it's a great opportunity to turn your $10 donation into $20, $50, into $100, et cetera.
And Giving Tuesday, for people who don't know, is the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, where nonprofits across Wisconsin, and I think maybe across the country, are encouraged to make their nonprofit donations. This season between Thanksgiving and New Year's is when people make their tax-deductible contributions, most of their charitable contributions. And a lot of nonprofits, and I ran a nonprofits for 40 years, rely on that money coming in between Thanksgiving and New Year's. Yeah. It is, you know, basically 50% of organizations' income comes through in that last month.
It is the giving season. Yeah. You know, so we look forward to it, and it is something that does help bolster us through the whole year. You know, the reality is hunger exists 24/7, 365. So, you know, we need funds, we need volunteers, we need awareness raised all throughout the year. But this is the time of year when giving to a nonprofit there's a brighter light shined on giving to nonprofits at this time of year.
And just, you know, giving so people aren't hungry. I mean, that is about the most crucial need that is out there. But it is, there's a sadness about it. There's an indictment, really, about it, that we have to rely on organizations like Second Harvest Food Bank in the state and in this country, when it really should be the government that makes sure no one goes hungry or without. And it's a policy issue. I mean, Joel Rogers was talking about public goods. I mean, no one, it's a public good to make sure that people don't go hungry. And so, you know, how do we get from here to there, do you think?
Yeah, that is a significant challenge, is how do you get from here to there? Because there's only so much that a food bank or a food pantry or a meal site can do to end hunger. You know, that's our mission. We want to put ourselves out of business, but until we can get some of those things, like I talked about, a higher living wage, until we can address some of the things like that systemic racism that really puts you know, a tremendous amount of folks kind of behind the, you know, behind the eight ball, so to speak, until we can do those things at the root level, I'm not sure we're going to be able to ever end hunger. And so it's a good thing that Second Harvest and pantries and things like that are here to provide that support. But until, from an organization and from a countrywide perspective, until we can address those root causes, it's going to be a significant challenge.
And where do you get donations of food from, restaurants and grocery stores and other things, or do you have to just go out and buy your food?
Oh, yeah, about 60% of the food that we distribute, I talked about that 26.9 million pounds that we distribute, about 60% of that is actually donated. So that leaves the extra 40% that we have to purchase.
And who does the donating?
Oh, you have farmers, you have large corporations, but you also have the child who walks around their neighborhood with their little red wagon collecting donations for us. So it really runs the gambit. And yes, we do work with all of the grocery stores here in town, and so it runs the gambit as to where we get our food. It runs the gambit as to where we get our funding. And so everything that we can possibly do to put as much food, and healthy food, nutritious food, is what we're really going for, onto the tables of those we're here to support.
And if someone is listening now who is hungry, or someone is listening who has a loved one who is hungry, how do they access the food that Second Harvest Food Bank has available?
You know, honestly, the best way, the best thing for them to do, it's the easiest thing, is call United Way's 211. Because what they will do is they will ask, you know, oh, what's your zip code? And they can say, okay, with, you know, about 3 miles away is the nearest pantry to you. And so they can connect you with those resources. But the great thing is that they will also connect with other resources. Because if you're struggling putting food on the table, you're probably also struggling maybe paying your heat bill or you know, paying your rent and things like that. So they can help with those things in addition to food. So United Way's 211 is really the best way for that.
Now, you're with Second Harvest Food Bank of Southern Wisconsin. This program airs statewide. Is there Second Harvest Food Banks all over the state?
You know, there are. We cover 16 counties here in southwestern Wisconsin. Throughout the state of Wisconsin, I think we're at six of our kind of sister food banks, as we sometimes refer to ourselves. So we do have a food bank that covers every county in Wisconsin. And in reality, there is a food bank that covers every county in the entire United States. And there's about 200 total member food banks of Feeding America, and we are one of those members. Every county, every city has a food bank that will cover and will help folks who are struggling with hunger.
Is there anything in particular you want to tell people who are listening right now if they're concerned about this issue of hunger in Wisconsin or hunger in America?
You know, I think that people might be surprised with who struggles with hunger. It's their neighbor. It's the child that their child maybe plays with in school. They may not have had dinner the night before, right, because they're struggling. Or maybe their parents, they're like, you know what, I'm gonna make sure that my child can eat, so I'm gonna give them my portion. And so I think that it's this idea that hunger exists really everywhere, and you don't know the face of hunger. It can be your next door neighbor. It can be that person who may be driving around in that nicer car, but you know what? They had that nicer car when they had, you know, a steady income, and they maybe haven't had that steady income for a year. And so it's going to surprise you as to who may be struggling with hunger. And so just look for it, be aware of it, and don't stigmatize. Mm-hmm. Don't make them feel bad for the fact that they are struggling, because everybody struggles a little bit throughout their lives. And as long as we're here to support them, that's what we're here to do.
And it's another reason not only to support Second Harvest, but to advocate for universal breakfast and lunch in our schools, because my wife was a former school nurse, and she could, you know, she would bring cheese sticks from home just to give to her students who were hungry, and it just made, you know, a lot of difference for people. So I appreciate you coming in. I want to encourage people to support Second Harvest, and let's try to address this problem of hunger right here in Wisconsin. We'll be back with This Shouldn't Be a Thing on Matt and Air on Air. Not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Back here on Matt and Air on Air. Jane's off today. Greg's off today. I'm here with Angela Lang of Block, guest co-hosting the two of us this morning. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, always.
Yeah, it was good to hear from Chris Tazelar, our last guest, who works and has been working for more than a dozen years at Second Harvest Food Bank of Southern Wisconsin. And I was glad he was able to address not only the immediate needs and what they do so wonderfully for our communities, but also the fact that this is a civic problem, a political problem, and we should be able to solve it too. We've had L.A. Tom waiting patiently on the line here for a long time.
Thanks, Tom.
I apologize for that, Tom. What's on your mind, Tom?
Well, happy Thanksgiving first off to you and Jeff and
I'm so sorry. I got your the other person that's there.
Angela. Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. All right. This is going to be kind of long-winded, so if you can just bear with me, Matt. Regressive Republicans are very good at narrative, and the rest of their echo chamber and media infrastructure tell the story over and over and over again and telling the same story. Democrats need a narrative, and they need to keep it simple, and they have a playbook to follow. They need to start off and tell as a narrative there was a gentleman by the name of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He was a president who was elected four different times. In fact, progressives and regressives both loved him. We need to communicate what FDR did for us in the New Deal, including Social Security, the WPA, et cetera, and then talk about how he wasn't able to fulfill his second economic Bill of Rights because of his death. And that's what whoever the person is, as a Democratic person running for Congress or your dog catcher or whatever, that's what I am here to do, is to fulfill FDR's second economic Bill of Rights. He believed in high taxes on the morbidly rich. He believed in that they were economic royalists, which would be the billionaire class today. Mm-hmm. We need to discuss the difference between public and private and the commons, and how the regressives basically want to privatize every part of the commons, things that we all share in common.
Tom, I appreciate the call and all those good ideas. We do need to bring back this idea of economic freedom that FDR talked about. Yeah. Joel Rogers also was talking about it, actually. Really good ideas. And we do have government of, by, and for the billionaires right now. They're like 6 or 7 billionaires.
Elon Musk. It's Elon Musk's country at this point.
It's a whole bunch of them. But I want to get to This Shouldn't Be a Thing, which is Jane and Greg's funny little item that they do. And this is the Thanksgiving version. So do you want to kick us off here, Jess?
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
So I was looking online for funny things that happened at Thanksgiving to people, and here's one from a stray person named Julie. You know those darling plastic platters they sell at Walmart this time of year? Well, they're not meant to hold an 18-pound turkey. We found that out the hard way when passing dishes.
Yikes.
The platter and turkey went crashing to the floor. So that's one thing that shouldn't be a thing. My pet peeve is pie crusts that are store-bought. Those should not be a thing. So I've made about 500 pies over the years, and it's not that hard to make a good pie crust. I will give you a quick recipe. 3 cups of flour, 2 tablespoons of white sugar, just a tiny bit of salt, and then 1.5 sticks of good butter and 2/3 of a cup of white Crisco. Yeah, that nasty coagulated white Crisco is magic. And we'll make a tremendous crust. All you do is blend it together, put a couple tablespoons of cold water in it to make a little ball of dough, put it in the fridge for a half hour, and roll that sucker out. So that's my pet peeve, and I'm happy to be able to do this. Shouldn't be a thing. That's what we just heard. Jess, you want to take us out on it?
This shouldn't be a thing.
Yeah, no more store-bought pie crusts. You're going to make a If you're going to go to the difficulty of making a pie, make a real pie. And it's not that difficult. That's why we have that expression, easy as pie.
I mean, that's true. It's not hard. As someone that's made their own pie crust before, it is not hard. I think it just comes down to, let's just say, convenience. I'm not going to call folks
more
lazy
dishes.
Because that would, it's just easier sometimes. But you're right. Like, it's not hard. It takes a little extra time. And if you're true, like, if you're gonna make a full pie, like, do the full thing. Because I have also done the thing where you buy a store-bought crust and you buy some pie filling, and there you go, you made a pie. But like, did I really though? I didn't really make it. I just threw ingredients together and said I did.
Yeah, and it's not great. And I don't recommend the store-bought fruit either. So
yeah, make a pie. Everything tastes better when you
use fresh fruit. Use the real pie crust, you'll be good to go. I want to give a shout out to our guests that we had today, Angela, State Rep Christian Phelps, UW Professor Joel Rogers, Chris Tazelar over at Second Harvest. I want to thank Jane and Greg for letting us stand up here behind the mics for a couple hours, taking their job while they're on vacation. Angela, it's always great hosting with you. It's a real pleasure and honor, actually.
Likewise. And Jess, thanks for always holding it down and keeping us on track.
You got it.
Yeah. No. Jess on the board is the best. I wish both of you a nice holiday weekend.
You too.
And all our listeners, too. And thanks from L.A. Tom for calling in. Everybody have a nice Thanksgiving weekend. Enjoy it. It's cold out there, though. Stay warm.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. An all-new live show back in the studio. Join us for a look back at the holiday weekend and prepare you for the week ahead.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. Holiday sales are expected to be brisk this Small Business Saturday. CBS New York's Elle McLogan is in Queens.
At Eigner Chocolates in Forest Hills, mini turkeys are getting swapped for Santas and dreidels in time for Small Business Saturday.
I know that it's easy for us to shop at home. It's easy for us to shop online.
Owner Rachel Kellner hopes to see a boost in foot traffic this weekend for the 95-year-old store, which relies on generations of neighborhood loyalty.
If you don't check everything off your list Saturday, there's still Cyber Monday next week. Winter weather warnings are up in parts of Pennsylvania and upstate New York ahead of a lot of lake effect snow. CBS News Bay Area meteorologist Paul Hagen is watching the radar.
Forecast models in general saying 1 to 2 feet of snow downwind to the Great Lakes, but there are going to be some communities that hit the jackpot and add up several feet of snow. They're going to be digging out well into next week in some cold temperatures. Saturday's highs are going to be 10 to 20 degrees below average in the teens, 20s, and 30s, and the wind chill is going to be even lower than that.
Jihadist insurgents now control much of the Syrian city of Aleppo as they clash with government forces there. The BBC's James Reed has the latest.
For several years, the conflict in Syria appeared frozen, with the rebels confined to their last stronghold in Idlib. Now events are moving with shocking speed. More and more videos are emerging of opposition fighters celebrating in the center of Aleppo and occupying major landmarks.
Syrian military sources say Syrian and Russian jets are bombing insurgents in a suburb of Aleppo. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau met with President-elect Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago Friday to discuss Trump's planned 25% tariffs on all Canadian imports. More from CBS News senior White House correspondent Weijia Jiang.
Trudeau has said the move would hurt Americans, and he is just one in a long line of people who want to get in front of Trump before he takes office.
The two leaders had dinner with Trump's picks for Commerce Secretary, Interior Secretary, and National Security Advisor. British lawmakers have approved an assisted suicide bill in a first round of voting. More from the BBC's Sue Montgomery.
The assisted dying bill was passed by a majority of 55 and will now go to the next parliamentary stage for further scrutiny. Kim Leadbeater is the MP who proposed the bill.
I believe the bill is in a very, very good place, but if there are things that need to change, amendments that need to be put forward, let's have that conversation. It'll be a long process, so there's plenty of time to get this right.
Several countries already permit assisted dying, including Spain, the Netherlands, Canada, New Zealand, and Australia.
Opponents fear vulnerable patients could be coerced to end their lives so they're not a burden. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's